This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons and Dragons.
So, are you like Bahamut's baby?
And Moot gives a little like smack to Sully's.
Oh, bike. They weren't my biological parents, but they are my parents. But, I mean, in a way of speaking, I'm not like Bahamut didn't have a baby and it was me.
What is it you're doing?
I'm working.
Cool.
You should be too. There is a lie.
Hey, Bahamut, it's me, Glim. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do, but I do want to tell you that I love you and I want to serve you, and I'm totally prepared to do whatever it takes to save the world. So I swear this oath to you that I will give everything I have, even my life, to serve you.
And Glim, you look back in and you see for a moment like the blue light that you saw before. And you look up and you see a long silvery dragon cross above in the sky.
What are you looking at?
Yeah, never mind. I probably didn't see anything. But I know I definitely saw something. Sully wouldn't understand.
You take care of yourself, Dent.
If you guys see us in town, you will definitely have a seat. Right up in the front.
We wouldn't miss it.
That's awesome.
Okay!
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Amy Moore.
Yes, that is me. I came at this with a very different energy than I had previously, and I play Sullivan Slight.
And Tom Laird.
Yeah, that's me. I play Moot.
Also with me, Carla Maxted.
That is me. I play Glim.
Joining us today, a very special guest. She's a writer, streamer, podcaster from Venture Maidens, and also author on that little book, you might have heard of it, Rime of the Frost Maiden. It's Celeste Conowich.
Whoa, hi, hey. Everybody. It's me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited.
We're all silently clapping. I realize
yeah.
I need to
type in like because some crowd effects, Russ.
Because we were all trying to do it.
I'll take it. Should I say who I'm playing today?
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm playing Professor Dr. Smith today for this podcast, and I'm very excited about it.
Oh, I am loving the accent work.
Yes. I love that it's Professor.
I love the name. I love everything that's happening
I
already.
2 degrees the hard way.
Oh, I was assuming that your first name was Doctor.
Perhaps. I am also a Smith by trade. I am multi-talented.
Professor Dr. Smith is a character created by one of our patrons, too, Devin Michaels. Thank you, Devin.
Thank you, Devin.
And thank you, Celeste, for embodying Professor Dr. Smith today.
Yes, I hope I do them justice, Devin. Thank you.
If you would like to join us on Patreon, you also get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Cedric Bosey.
Cedric Bosey. Thank you so much.
Again, awesome name.
That's what I was just thinking. What a cool name.
So many of our patrons have such cool names.
I know. It sounds like a character name from a movie, but it's a real person.
Or is it?
Oh, maybe it's a pen name of some sort.
I thought you were going to say panda. And I don't know what.
Well,
like
sort.
Maybe there. And then you I just imagined know. A panda at a laptop somewhere.
That panda could have some like, sort of credit card and be they think sponsoring us monthly.
Yeah.
You don't know, Amy.
Right?
You can join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And now, fuck it, let's play. Moot, Glim, and Sully, you've been hanging out in the great city of Jorath Thamar, the Dragonborn homeland, for about a week or two since you've separated ways with Dents. He's gone off and joined Puff the Magic Dragon on tour across the realm. What have you three been up to?
For Glim, after, you know, making a pledge to Bahamut and maybe, like, trying to make friends with that one person that worked at that one temple that was kind of just a room, I don't know how that worked out. Did that work out? Are they my new friend?
They, absolutely, they're your new friend. They revered you when you showed up, if you recall. Yeah, so you could have spent much time there.
Okay. Again, now that you just said that, I take it back, because Glim doesn't like to be revered. Glim likes to try and proselytize. I think she is interested more in folks who aren't that interested in what she's selling. So, yeah, she's probably been maybe checking out some of the other temples, because I know you said like there's sort of a little bit of this and a little bit of that all over there. So I think she's pretty interested in what else is on offer in Jorath Thamar.
If you've managed to check out many of the temples, there's temples of Pelor. Would probably have been a good stop for you. There is a temple to Tiamat, which isn't widely used, especially since, the recent events of...
I don't know that she's that open.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a members-only club to get into that one. You need the code.
Yeah, yeah, I think she might have avoided that one. Maybe some, like, gave it some real mean looks from outside.
Sully has been talking to pretty much every person who has a stall in the general market area. Also has snuck away to for sure draw a dick on the door of the Tiamat temple.
Mm. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Didn't scrawl his name like he maybe normally would have, but definitely just a big penis, because that's what he thinks of them.
Moot has discovered a thing that they have in Jorath Thamar that they don't have in other places that he's been to. It's called a buffet. Mm. And a lot of competing restaurants have these buffets. And he has been going real hard. And his clothes are fitting a little tighter than they were when everyone arrived here in town.
What was your favorite buffet that you went to?
There was one that they served this like meat that rotated and they were like shaving bits off of it. And he didn't even get the name of it. He smelled it from the street, came in, ate his fill, and then like staggered out the door.
So when meat is Hillip's idea, it's not a good idea. But when it's your idea, it's a good idea.
Mm. That
Listen,
is correct.
Hillip's not even here to be upset about this, Russ.
No, it's fine.
Compartmentalized.
Just throwing it, just right? Bringing it. It's a callback, right? Anyways. Throughout your travels, you've seen like signs and had heard mentions of this wonderful apiary just on the edge outside of the main pyramid of Jorath Thamar, right where the plains meet. There's a small grove of trees, and you've been told that this is a site that you have to see while you're visiting.
Okay, you guys, I know you don't love the, like, touristy thing, but we have to go to this apiary. Like, every temple I've gone to, they've told me that it's, like, the one place you have to go while you're here. So could we please just go?
Glim, I'm really sorry to bring this up. I just don't normally think that girls enjoy going to the apiary. It's really because, well, just it's so hard to get the stream over the edge. You know what I'm saying? Like...
And he's making, like, lewd gestures from his crotch and pointing down and, like...
And I just don't... I think it's really more for, you know, if you are more anatomically outward. You get what I'm saying.
I don't... Maybe I misunderstood what an apiary is, but could you explain what you mean?
Well, yeah. So an apiary is when most of the like latrines are full, right? And it's also kind of just a special experience because you go up high, right? In this, like, you're up and like almost like a balcony kind of situation. And it's when you're peeing over the edge into the air,
Moot's just frantically writing down P balcony question mark.
You have to see that. I mean, it's in all the tourist books.
Okay, well, I don't. Maybe we should just go see. I'm not. I feel like my understanding of what it is and your understanding.
Glim, I'm not sure you're supposed to just go to look. I mean, that's really. This place has changed you, but I mean, I could. Yeah. And he wiggles around a little bit and he's like, yeah, I could go.
The three of you, uncertain what you're walking into, head off and out of the pyramid and down towards the location.
Wherever it is, Sully's going to be there.
Where
he's made that abundantly clear.
Where there may or may not be public urination. We'll see.
Oh, there will be.
But as they approach round over and down a path, what do they see?
So I think as you're traveling towards the outskirts of town here, you know, the houses are a little, or the buildings are a little bit further apart. So you can actually start to see, you know, glimpses of nature on the outside edges here. And so right on that borderline between like urban and natural settings, there's this cute little like whitewashed shop. That has this big sign on it painted in like happy gold and black letters. It's a big B and then a plus sign that makes up the sign here. So B plus. And, you know, there's a little set of double doors and shop windows have been set up in this little front stand area. And there are a variety of, honestly, just trinkets inside. It's sort of like walking by like a Bath and Body Works where you look in the window and you're like, what is actually in this window? Every once in a while, there's like little bottles of stuff that have like amber colored liquid, lots of like baskets and like decor that all seems kind of be like honey themed. And then you can tell behind this building, there is a large patch of land that has been like concealed with high fencing on all the sides. So that's what you see, B plus in front of you.
Okay, Sully, before we go in here, I just want you to promise me that you're not going to pee unless you see several other people already peeing.
So like okay. More than two?
Let's say four
if,
or
if
more people.
If I see
people.
Four or more people, I can also join in the urination.
Sure.
Now, what if I just find a bathroom?
Yeah, that's great option.
Oh, then you can go right
all
ahead.
Right. I just wanted to know.
Like, there's so many rules. Also, I'm not sure this is exactly what I think it is.
Yeah, I think that might be the case. I'm going to go try the door.
The door is opened, and like a happy little, like, there's like a little fat, like, bee wind chime that kind of like bangs and like, you know, lights out a sound. I think as you step inside, it definitely looks like a gift shop of some kind. You see a lot more of that same product that was in the window around like neat kind of shelves that fill this area here. There's like little plushies of bees, and then you see like a little glass cabinet that has like all of these little jars that are labeled different floral sounding names. And then there's a counter on one side. And you see that there are a couple different signs here. There's purchases is in front of one side of the counter here. And then tours is on the other side. And of course, these are both on little like painted signs hanging on the different parts of the counter here.
This place smells good.
I guess, would I be?
Your assistant could be there.
Yeah. I bet my assistant would be here. I don't think I'm working the counter. I have 2 degrees.
You are beyond working the counter.
That's right.
I don't work the counter.
You step in, you get that initial look around the room, and then stepping out from a back room is a taller man. He's long and lanky, very rustic clothing. He steps out, his head kind of protrudes a little bit, like out from his shoulders, in a way that, like, you know, you should probably see a chiropractor. And he comes out and he looks at you and says, "Well, welcome. What can I do for you? I'm Derek."
"Hi, Derek. I'm Sullivan Slight."
"Hi, Derek.
Nice to meet you."
"We're just visitors to Jerathamar, and everyone said we should come here, so, like, I guess a tour?
Oh.
What do you guys think?" And I look at Moot and Sully, like, I don't want to buy things in the gift shop until I do the tour.
Right. He goes over to the tour side of the desk and says, just come over here.
It's like 5 feet away from the others.
Does he like maybe switch his hat or something, or put on a pin that says tour guide?
Puts on like a safety vest.
He reaches below the desk and pulls out a clipboard and says, just write your names. And as you're writing your names on the clipboard, you look up and he does have a different hat on and a different vest. He says, well, the tour starts in 15 minutes.
Well, I'm off of browsing, I guess. Can I touch any of the stuff in the bottles? What's in the bottles?
Hold on. He pokes his head in the back. Professor?
What?
I'm having a question here. I don't know if I've ever had this question before. Can they touch the things in the bottles?
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. Very good. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Oh, we have a curious mind amongst us. One moment. And you hear like tumbling from the back and then stepping out from behind like the little like gold curtain that separates the doors leading backwards. You see a very squat, middle-aged to late-aged gentleman. His face is very small and kind of like his chin comes forward a little bit, like almost like a snout. And his hair is cropped very shortly and has this like wide stripe of silver white just going down the middle with the black on the sides here, and he looks at you through little like gold spectacles and he's like, a question. I am extremely qualified to answer questions. Is this of a medical nature or a physiological nature?
I want to stick my fingers into the little jaws of the brown stuff.
More of a touch and stuff nature.
You see why I didn't have an answer.
Yes. I'm sorry. Is this are you hoping to buy things? Do you want a sample? You want a sample?
Oh, yes.
I think is what you're trying to say.
I'd like a sample.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, we do have this wonderful. Why didn't you offer them samples, Trevor?
Yeah, Trevor. I didn't know your name was Trevor.
I go by Trevor when I have my tour guide hat on.
Oh, no. What was your name? Derek. I don't know why.
No, it's Derek Trevor.
Maybe Professor Dr. Smith calls him a different name every single time. Yeah.
He narrows his eyes. He's like, when did you change your name?
No, it's fine. It's fine. Tour guide Trevor here. You can sample. Just don't.
I could have sworn we had a Trevor working here last week. Are you the same young man?
No, you fired Trevor. I'm Derek.
Oh, well, Derek, or whatever your name is. Go give them some samples. They're in the bin over there.
Okay.
Yeah, have you given them the... You're useless, Trevor, Derek, or whoever you are. Welcome to B+, the finest apiary, the only apiary in the entire city. Here we produce many fine honeys, waxes, all sorts, all manners of varieties of great creations that we source to the meaderies around here. Do you enjoy mead? We probably had something to do with it.
I do enjoy mead.
Yes, well, you cannot make mead without bees.
I brought the samples here. Which one? Brown one?
So we sort of, and I'll like arrange them on the table. And you see my nails are very long, almost like claws, as I arrange these little like pots of honey for you on this table. And like, all of these are influenced by, of course, different floral scents that we have incorporated. I'm sort of an artisanal honey maker, if you will, of course. And one of the pots is like empty on the thing, and I look at it very sadly and say, unfortunately, I cannot give you my greatest creation, my fondest creation, for lack of materials, but...
Trevor removes his hat and puts it to his chest.
Oh my god, who are you?
Sorry. I'm Derek without the hat. Here, I'll put it back on.
Ooh.
I was just mourning.
Keep the hat on.
I was just mourning the lost sample.
My sight isn't what it used to be. You all smell the same to me.
So all of the samples are different?
Yes. Oh yes, my lad. We have many varieties of hives on the property, and of course I do a little of this, a little of that. Some of it's nature, some of it, of course, is alchemy, to create these different flavors. So here, why don't you try this one? It's a lavender, and then this one here we have a cinnamon blend, and I'm scooting them closer towards you with like little dippy. Pieces of, like, wooden pieces.
Sully's for sure got his fingers in there, and in no time is absolutely covered in honey. Like, this kid is sticky.
Oh, so sticky. My goodness.
It's everywhere. I don't know what happened. I thought I put it in my mouth.
I wish at this point we would even be surprised by that, but it just happens so often.
Oh, please, Mr. Buffet.
Well, I don't get it all over myself. It just all goes in me.
And I mean, of course, if the honey won't delight you, I do have several other objects that you might find interesting. I do a bit of artificing here as well, I'm sure there's something.
What about the bubbles?
Oh, the bubbles. Yes, you do look like, and I look specifically at Sully, I'm like, you look like the sort who would enjoy something like that.
Oh, I would like bubbles. Yes. Yes, please.
So I take out a little like wicker basket from behind the counter. No, we haven't set these out for everyone yet, so this is sort of a first look, but here we are. They are bubbles, and there is a little like printed logo that's been put on them that says Ever Bubbles with an exclamation point. And it said, made with equal parts joy and depravity. And they're honey flavored.
Are you telling me you can eat these bubbles?
First batch didn't go so well.
Regular bubbles are useless because they pop. So we made some that don't. They don't pop. So don't eat them because they'll never pop. And you'll just have a bubble sitting
inside you for all eternity. So I must express, please do not eat these.
Well, I'm saying it would probably only stay in you until you get to the poopy area. Am I right?
Trevor's not here for a reason.
Oh.
Well, okay, maybe I won't play with the bubbles, but I'll watch.
I mean, I'm definitely not going to eat them, but I'm interested in the joy and depravity, so what does that mean?
The depravity part is it can be destroyed with a sharp metal. If you have the Everbubble liquid, of course, then they turn into a combustible sort of situation. We're still working on it, but this is the first launch, and we are very excited to test them on a market.
So would you say it's more of like a soft launch?
Yes, that is a great way to put it. Yeah, I don't have a degree in marketing, so you know, that's helpful advice. Friend. Anyway, yes, we have a ton of these if you would like to buy them.
Could I see these bubbles in action?
Yeah, what do they do?
Derek, why don't you show them?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You take the bubble wand.
You take the wand. Yes, always start with the wand.
Put it in the bubbles.
Yeah, dip it up and down.
Up and down. Up and down, up and down. And then...
Not too much, too fast.
Sorry. Yeah, right.
Not too fast.
You're creating some froth.
Oh,
you need the specific liquid to mixture ratio.
Liquid to mixture ratio, right. I forgot that mixture ratio, 3-1, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you purse your lips and blow.
Just so. A gentle blow. More of a whisper.
Oh, sorry.
More of a whisper.
And then a bubble forms out the end, and it floats in the air, and it's a shimmery appearance to it as it floats down. Professor Doctor, could you hand me the sharp object? I know you told me not to handle them, but you also told me to sample this.
Well, I'm honestly not quite sure who you are, so I might as well just give it a shot. I hand you a pair of scissors.
From like a high shelf or something, like you keep it far away from Derek.
Like,
poor Derek.
Okay, well, all right, ready? Oh, we probably shouldn't do this inside, should we?
No, we should not do this inside. Get the bubble out. I'm waving the bubble with like a piece of paper out the door.
Follow me.
If it never pops, can you just pick it up in your hands?
You can try.
You can certainly try.
I would not like to try.
We'll continue fanning.
Fanning.
Sully starts blowing.
We get out front, and he's like, already, here we go. Don't be surprised.
I hide behind Glim a little bit.
It's very surprising.
I feel like it's a little late for that.
Derek Trevor goes to
Derek Trevor.
Pop the bubble
you are.
with the scissors, and it explodes, and there's this mist that forms, and then from inside of it, a giant ball of flame engulfs and goes up into the air. There.
I see why you didn't want to do that inside.
And why you wouldn't want to eat that.
Sullivan
also that.
Claps.
Yes.
Sully is like so impressed.
On second thought, perhaps we shouldn't have made the bubbles so delicious. To really discourage that. Like I was saying, I would absolutely love to try this mixture one more time. But of course, with the materials gone, I cannot. If only there were some adventurers who could help me with this task. Alas, here I am on the outskirts of town, unable to make more bubbles.
Professor Dr. Smith just says this all the time. I'm not allowed to go.
If only. No, Derek. You must stay here. You must mind the store, Derek.
Right.
I have 2 degrees. I cannot stand behind that counter. What would the people say, Derek? What would they say?
Yeah, Derek.
Shake your head. Come on.
Yeah, Derek, get your head out of your ass.
Yeah, Derek. Oh, you're so not smart.
I miss Trevor, to be quite honest.
Derek puts his hat back on.
Yeah, I miss Trevor, too.
Well, good thing Trevor's here.
Oh, Trevor. Oh, my gosh. There's this strange man who insists he works for me. And I don't know what to do about it, quite honestly.
Next time I see him, I'll kick him out.
Good. Just punch him right in the snoot.
I'll punch him in the snoot. He leans down to the group. What's the snoot?
I think he means the nose.
The nose, like right in the face?
You're right in the face right area.
I have to punch myself in the face?
Yeah, well, you should probably do it fast.
Okay. Maybe I'll tell. Okay, no, it's all right. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'll watch. Right. I'll watch. I won't let that other person watch the store.
Glim, it sounds like a good thing that, like, something we could do to help, maybe.
Yeah, is the material, I assume, is the same one that you're missing from your most favorite honey that you normally... How?
Indeed it is. There has been an alarming shortage of hell wasps city for quite some time.
Can you come again?
Oh, you have to hell go. This is Trevor again. I got that information. I mean, I got that information. Flip knows where the hell wasps are. In the forest?
Flip
again. Those hell wasps?
Hell wasps is the thing that you need for the... Yes. Is that like when there's a really big guy and you call him tiny? So these are...
No, they're wasps from hell. So you can imagine why I am just out of sorts. Out of sorts without them. For how can I make more marvelous bubbles for the children if I do not have access to more of this explosive venom that they carry?
You're giving the bubbles to children?
I'm not sure the bubbles should...
Of course you give bubbles to children. Adults should not play with bubbles.
Whoa, exploding fire bubbles?
There's only one kind of bubbles, okay, so yep. I don't know what you're implying.
Oh, perfect. Got it.
It's just a different culture, so...
Guys, my story brought us into this. I feel like we're a little bit, like, kind of like,
where
now obligated to do this. I was totally like, we could help with this, but.
Are the hell wasps in hell currently, or?
Oh, I don't know. My last assistant was researching it. Trevor, could you get them? Could you get that information from them?
Yeah. He takes his hat off.
Does he change his clothes again?
Oh my god, you're Derek.
Puts on a first pair of glasses.
Both my character and Celeste are so confused. So it's all genuine.
Hey, Derek here. I know I was the guy you didn't want to see. Watch. He puts his hat half on his head and punches himself in the face. Oh! Yeah. Oh, this is the stuff. Anyways, I got that information. You just have to go into the Methwood Forest and meet up with Flip. You know, Flip, he hides out in there and deals with all the bees and the wasps and all the stuff that is native in the forest. He said he saw some hell wasps, and you could probably go there, and Bob's your uncle. You got hell wasp.
What does my Uncle Bob have to do with this?
There are so many people we're meeting today. It's just extraordinary how much business we've had.
I'm gonna put my hat back on. So, look, Trevor's back.
Oh, Trevor, thank goodness.
I chased him off, Professor.
You know what, Trevor? You should get a raise. I know you're an unpaid intern, but I will pay you more in wisdom.
Oh.
Wisdom. The most valuable of all commodities.
Okay.
More valuable than money.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I shall remind you once again.
That's what my mom always said. She's like, Trevor, Derek, Trevor.
Yes, she starved to death, she said.
Wisdom sustains us all. Money is for the weak.
The weak. Money is for artists.
Those were her last words.
That's exactly what she said. Money is for artists.
This really is a different culture.
Yeah.
It's the middle, baby. What are we talking about today?
Jingles and jangles, no doubt.
Oh, maybe some
stuff.
Jingles and jangles.
The festive holiday season?
Yep, that one.
Coin purses? Yeah.
All of these things and more are coming your way somewhere, some way, somehow. You'll know it when it hits you. But we're explaining it right now for you that we're not going to explain it. But what we do have that we would like you to check out is patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where how many patrons are we up to now?
As 69. It stands right now as we're recording?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll let Amy take this one?
What did you say?
69.
Oh, Amy said 69.
She said all sultry, too.
I did.
So we couldn't even wait for our episode 69, which is in two episodes, because you beat us to it. Patrons. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Thanks for being so great.
69 yeah. Thunder.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
that's really what I was getting at.
It's just a little aggressive coming at you with that love there.
We have a thing going on. New and upgrading patrons get some cool stuff. And then for every 5 we get, we record a bonus episode. There's a lot going on, is what I'm saying. And it's all, like, pretty great. And for 2020, how many times has someone said, there's a lot going on, and then followed it up with the sentence, and it's pretty great?
Not even one time this year. I don't think not once.
It's happening right now.
That's the first time ever.
You did it.
So you just heard history.
Breaking ground here on Dungeons & Dragons. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. New and upgrading patrons. Every 5 bonus episode, plus those patrons who are new and upgrading get some sweet merch in their pockets in time for Christmas if you sign up December 9th, 2020, because that's the year we're in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, that one.
I mean, yeah, if I...
69.
Because we currently have 69. We would like to be at 70 because that means bigger community, more people. We want to get to know you. I mean, let it linger for a little bit. If you see it, just like admire it and then
just do a nice.
Take a screenshot
so you can remember it.
Yeah. Don't wait too long though, because someone's probably doing the same thing and they're going to tip it over to 70. Ooh,
like an accidental sign up when you're trying to screenshot.
Yeah.
That would be tragic.
So you missed the boat.
I think it's just that our patrons see the value in this awesome deal and all the like stuff, cool stuff we want to give them. And obviously 11 people thought it was totally worth it. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
So patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We'll see you over there. And now, get back to this episode with Celeste, who's just amazing, isn't she?
She's so fun. So amazing.
Go check out all of Celeste's things at her website, CelesteConowich.com. Then go listen to her event on the Venture Maidens, because she's great over there. And then go get that Rime of the Frost Maiden, because she wrote that.
That's so cool.
So cool.
Oh, I saw a thing, too, on DM's Guild. She wrote, like, a book of puzzles.
Yes, she did.
And it looked really cool.
She's got so many things out there.
She's such a talented person.
She is.
Yeah.
And so nice and so fun. And it came and played a game with us, which is, like, makes me question her judgment a little bit. But in all other ways, she's, like a 10
really
out of 10.
Nothing else going on.
I'm going to end on that high note here, where we're questioning the guest who you're going to come listen to.
But gushing.
Yes. Thank you all for being here. Hopefully you're having a wonderful and safe time, and we'll talk to you very soon. Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, so if I get this straight, we have to go into the meth forest.
Meth wood. Sorry. He takes his hat off. Meth wood. Puts his hat back
meth
on.
Wood.
Meth
wood. I don't know what the fuck is the difference between the wood and the forest.
It's
I don't
one
know.
Word.
Oh, the
meth wood.
So the meth
two syllables
wood.
As well.
And flip, which, what kind of name is that even?
It's 3 letters.
What?
Mm.
What is it? FLP?
Yeah.
That doesn't even have a vowel in it. That's fucked up. I'm getting very agitated with this. There was an exploding bubble. Wow. I'm still sticky. Oh, it's getting to me, you guys. And now there are hell wasps.
Yeah. Yes.
How do you not get stung by a hell wasp?
Oh, you will probably get stung. But the good news is that you all paid for a tour already, didn't you? So that way, I can provide you with some beekeeping gear, and I shall be there as well. And I do consider myself a bit of an expert with bees, wasps, insects of all varieties. So as long as you stay by me, you should be more than safe.
Is that what you're a professor of? Is bees or you're?
You're not a professor of bees. You cannot profess bees. What college offers a bee degree? No, absolutely not. I am a professor of bee physiology. To let you know, to clear that right up. I am also a medical doctor of bees, but no, I do not have a degree in bees.
So if a bee has like a heart attack or something, like you are the person to call.
Yes, I can save a bee having a heart attack.
Okay.
I don't like to talk about it too much because, you know, flaunting my heroic status seems a bit vain, don't you think? But yes, I can do open heart surgery on a bee if it is required.
Well, if you're so... Why do you need adventurers?
Because I am old, young man. I am old and tired, and I need help.
But I thought with all the wisdom, you'd be able to handle it.
Who knows what's on the way to get to these bees? I can deal with the bees and the wasps, and but there's the whole lot of forest between here and there.
I hear it's wood.
Wood, forest... All places I don't want to be. I just need the hell wasps, and I need to come back here. Will you help me? Is really the bottom line.
I mean,
I feel like we sort of already said we would before really getting the facts of the scenario. So that's a life lesson, I think, maybe for us.
I was just trying to be so like glim, you know, like helpful and stuff. And I really put my foot in it this time. I'm not going to lie. Because you know what? We actually ended up paying her to go and help her find hell wasps. So that's really...
It's doing the community a service. Think of all the children. Think of all the children who will enjoy these bubbles.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if the end result of this is going to be a check in the win column for us either.
Trevor's standing behind Professor Dr. Smith, and he's like, "You didn't pay," mouthing. You're good.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I mean, I'm not doing anything else, I guess. But do you have like a wet wipe or something?
Sticky situation, yes. Oh, I also run a business in cleaning products. It's amazing what you can do. When you work in honey, you do have to develop quite a few things to get sticky things off. So yes, here are my Dr. Professor Smith wipes. Here you are. I like hold out some wet wipes that I've rebranded with my own name.
When I pull one out, it continually goes, and I like shake it out like a towel. It's like towel sized. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my god!
Yes, you get very sticky working.
Yes,
maybe one day I'll actually take you on the tour, and you can see what I spend my days nobly doing.
Well, I think we're gonna get like you know the behind the scenes how to capture hell wasps tour.
It's very exciting.
That's invaluable. The amount of knowledge that we're going to acquire here is just going to be astronomical.
Yes, yes. You are being paid in wisdom. Truly.
It's the best currency.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that is the rumor.
That's right, Trevor or Derek. And he narrows his eyes and looks at you as like,
oh. This is how Tarek got his name on HGTV.
Tarek.
Fuck.
Yep.
I just have, I guess, one question. Do you have some sort of special container or...
Do they just follow you home?
I have two questions. Is there a container?
Yes.
Are hell wasps the same size as normal wasps, just extra mean?
No,
or are they
certainly not.
Okay.
They're much
okay,
larger.
Okay, I'm glad I asked. Okay. So
they're from hell. Of course they're larger. Right. You have to be so big to survive down there. What, those little guys down there just hanging out with devils? Yeah. Like, oh, I'm a bee size. They'd get murdered.
You're right. It was a silly question. So,
They're like dogs. They're like dogs. Like a large dog. I'm not kidding around.
So it's
like
a large dog that flies and stings people?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Cool. Yeah, let's do more of that.
Extremely poisonous.
I pull on Moot's arm and I'm like, Moot, I'm scared.
Yeah, I think that's a good call, Sully.
While this conversation is happening, Tarek is going around with the tape measure, measuring everybody's like dimensions, arms, legs, inseams.
Mm-hmm. Inseams, whoa.
And then he rushes inside.
Okay.
I'm so glad you walked into my store and were able to help me. You know, most people just run the other way when I ask them for things. I don't know why.
No idea. Definitely not disappointed that I'm not peeing off a ledge right now.
was going to say, do you usually lead with the Hell Wasp information? Because I feel like that would send people running instead of easing into
I do have a variety of projects. I until very recently, I had enough, you know, ground carapaces and everything to last me quite a while. But, you know, there are always new projects, and it seems people don't want to go after fire elementals and then give me shambling mound parts, and sometimes they don't want to give me the heart of a gelatinous cube, and I just don't know why people are just so generally unhelpful. So this is just such a delight.
Selfish, really, those other people.
Truly.
I mean, it's all for science.
Especially with the amount of wisdom I give every day to all those around me. You think it's my turn. It's Professor Dr. Smith's turn. No, it's not. I guess.
I feel smarter just standing near you.
Good.
Guys,
good.
I think Professor Doctor needs some medical help. And Sully taps his...
What? I am a doctor. Did somebody say they need medical attention?
Definitely not.
I cannot help you unless you are a bee.
Oh, yeah, no, fair enough. I mean, my great-grandmother on my father's side was a bee, but I mean, other than that.
Oh, that's fascinating. Congratulations.
Derek, I do feel superior than others.
Derek runs out with four beekeeper suits and says, here you go.
Now, is this made out of like a magic material or something that's going to protect me?
No,
from
it's just mesh.
It's just mesh.
It's not hell mesh.
So you put on the mesh suit, and then you have the big hat and the big mesh. It'll come down in sort of... So when they fly at you, they get confused and they can't sting your face.
Except that they are the size of large dogs, so...
Yes
that is true.
Okay.
That is true.
But we look great.
But I've always been perfectly safe inside of one of these suits. Nothing bad has ever happened to me in my entire life, so I think you should trust me.
You turn around and Trevor is trying to... put on your suits for you, like just trying to feed your arms into them. It's like getting you, lifting your leg. Like
it's important to make sure everything is sealed, so those little fuckers they'll get right in into your cuffs.
The dog-sized fuckers will just get right in there.
Little dog-sized fuckers.
I have a feeling like I may end up riding one of these things by the end of this encounter.
I'm going to put on my bee suit. I'm going to help Trevor, Derek, help me put on my bee suit.
I'm going to stand there like I'm getting fitted for my wedding day and let him put it on for me.
Could you just lift your leg?
Could you lift my leg for me, Derek?
Professor, he's not lifting his leg.
Oh, my lad, you must lift your leg. Trevor is apparently incapable of doing so.
You can't just find good help nowadays, can ya? Well, and I lift my leg.
I'm being paid in wisdom. It doesn't feed me very well. But it's the best currency.
I'm sorry, are you complaining about being gainfully employed?
Sorry.
Because
like
there are plenty of people
Look
out
at
there.
That, I'm all zipped up. Let's go.
My hat fell off. That was Derek. Sorry. Trevor's back.
I missed you,
this
Trevor.
This hat really reminds me of my floppy sun hat, guys. I love it.
Yeah, whatever happened to that floppy sun hat?
You know, I think I just left it back at the B&B.
So many things we leave behind.
Oh, bees. I know about bees.
Of course.
Maybe you should open a B&B.
A B&B.
A B&B.
Also, Professor Dr. Smith does not put on a suit, so.
Okay.
Fuck you, Professor Doctor.
Okay, well, I'll just.
I die.
I'll just hold on to it back here for you, Professor Dr. Smith.
Yes, I don't look cool in it. Trevor,
right.
And I'm going on an adventure.
Yes.
So,
guys,
I need to look cool.
I feel like I look totally not cool.
Yeah, 100%.
Also, all my weapons are inside my suit.
Yes, see, that is going to be very hard to deal with. That is why I did not want to deal with that.
Would it be okay if I unzip my suit?
No, I mean, if you want to open up that chasm for those little bee feet to crawl inside, that's up to you. That's on you, man. I don't...
Well, now I don't know what to do. I unzip it, like, a little bit of the waist. And I hold the zipper.
I make a tisking sound.
I feel shamed.
We fade out on the scene as Trevor Derek waves and says, hopefully you make it back alive.
That was ominous.
Yeah, go punch yourself Tarek. Again, Tarek.
Tarek.
And we flash ahead and we're in the Methwood Forest.
And what do we see?
The scene.
Three idiots in a suit.
Yeah, certainly
one cool dude.
Three total very cool
dorkuses wearing a bee
one
suit.
Very cool professor doctor.
Aside from that, the scene is dark. The canopy is very thick. The sound of birds and insects is like ringing throughout the forest. There's a path that you're following. As much as you don't know where you're going, Derek, Trevor told you just to follow the path, and that will lead you to Flip.
So, do you all peruse many forests? Is this like a new thing, or is this old hat? I'm walking very strangely, also, like kind of in the middle, bouncing.
You have
along.
A great time. Just happy to be out of the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Professor Dr. Smith doesn't get out a lot, I think.
No. I spent my youth inside universities and inside bee hospitals, and I just never quite got around to doing the adventuring thing. I mean, sure, there was a little time in my youth when I did a bit of artificing, but now, I mean, I sort of just do projects in my garage, as it were, so this is all very, very exciting.
Yeah, I've seen a few forests.
Yeah, we've traveled a bit. Flip?
Flip, oh my god, Flip, where are you?
The pathway opens up into a large clearing, and in the center of this clearing, there is a small hut. From the distance that you see like there's a small smokestack with plumes of smoke coming up and out of it. The door looks closed. You see like a low glow of fire coming from inside. But no signs of anybody moving in or around the area.
Hey, Moo, why don't you knock on that door there?
I think I'm just going to knock. Hello?
Oh, sure. Take it away, Glim.
Hello? And I knock. Knock, knock. I say knock, knock, and also knock.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Glim also taps her wrist when she's asking someone what time it is.
Oh, the horror.
As you knock, knock, the door slowly creaks open.
That's never good.
Excuse me, someone needs to oil your hinges. I do have oil if you have money to give me.
Flip?
Is there such a thing as bee oil?
Yes, of course.
Oh.
I'm learning so much.
I realize now I just don't know that much about bees.
Oh, well, there's a wide variety of products you can get from bees. I start listing. I'm like, wax and pheromones are forming the basis of soaps and candles. And
I'm going to check out inside this house.
You don't like the wisdom?
Flip, oh my god, are you in here?
Sully, you go into the house.
Yeah, anything to get away from all the knowledge and wisdom. Sully doesn't like the wisdom.
It's an empty empty cottage. It's a single room. There's a bed, a table, two chairs, a little kitchen area, and like a stove fireplace that has a fire going in it. But then there's a note, like a sealed envelope on the table, and it's addressed to Professor Dr. Smith.
Hey, I got here. This is for you.
Just saying, look at it. Oh, who do you think it's from?
I had to take an educated guess.
They didn't put a return address on it. It's just poor penmanship.
Well, we are.
I'll say as I'm.
They also didn't mail it. It was just left
in their
here.
Own home.
Oh God! Somebody lives here in the middle of the woods. How uncomfortable.
So what does the letter say? Maybe it will lead us to your
And I use one of my ridiculously long like nail claws to open it up in a sharp motion, and I will take the letter out delicately.
You unfold it and begin to read it, and it says, "Dearest Professor Dr. Smith,
yes.
Help! Oh, I have been kidnapped."
How would you be able to write this if you were kidnapped? Okay.
By the feet.
There was one flaw. Professor Dr. Smith found it.
By the fiercest Latavus.
This means nothing to me. Does this name mean anything to anybody else?
Is it Platypus?
I guess so. Oh, no, Latavus? Is that... it's hard to make out here.
Laphidus?
Everybody can make a history check. Obviously, Professor Dr. Smith knows nothing about Lat.
I have no idea.
6.
10.
17.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, you Moot. Would know too, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You read a book about him.
I write a lot of things down.
The name catches you as odd at first, but then you remember that Latavus is a green dragon who, up until recently, had been known to mostly live or reside in the western areas of Faerun, but has since moved more central.
Is he also known for writing help notes for the people he captures?
That's his MO. Card, yeah.
Yeah, his serial Maybe. Killer move.
Is it in like green ink?
Instead of leaving a Joker playing card at the scene, he writes neat little notes for his victims.
Yeah.
The note continues, "Need to bring Hellwasp honey to Latavus's lair. Sincerely, not Latavus." "Your friend Flip."
P.S. Definitely not Latavus.
Still not Latavus.
Okay, so now I frankly don't know what to do. Since Flip was going to show us where this honey was, and now we need it to go get Flip. I'm feeling a little out of my depth here. Does anybody know how to locate honey in a forest?
I've got an even bigger question.
Yes.
Do wasps make honey?
Well, it's actually interesting. Most
oh,
do
God,
not.
Oh, God, sorry I asked.
Most do not, but hell wasps in particular, what they make is not so much of a honey substance, but more of this strange honeycomb substance of which they build their infernal hives, which sort of actually look very similar to termite mounts, if you are viewing them from that perspective, from an ornithological... Oh, wait, that's not the right word.
I look at Glim and I say, I bet you I stopped listening first.
Yes, but no, it is technically not true honey. But, I mean, hey, when you're from all over the plains, it's...
Maybe we could just go and yell buzz, 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 buzz. Is there anything that hell wasps like to eat? Because we can pretend
flesh?
To be one of those. Oh, look at me and all my flesh.
I mean, that would certainly work if you were anywhere near them where they could hear you.
I just walk over to where Professor Dr. Smith is standing and I say, can you just, like a step to the left?
Oh, yes.
Well, I think maybe there's more of the note on the ground because there's another piece of paper on the floor that you were just standing on.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, what's on this?
Mooch, you look at it and it appears to be a map.
Hell wasp honey here.
Exactly.
Perfect.
This is extremely convenient. Thank you, young man. Me and my big feet. How many times have I heard that?
Save it for next episode, Celeste.
Are you regretting inviting me yet?
No, not at all. Just, I mean, big feet, episode 69, like, that's a next episode.
Gigantic feet, everyone tells me, especially women. I don't know why.
Thank you.
song Long Road Ahead is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music and sound effects can be found at epidemicsound.com or boomlibrary.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Mark Hartless, Stevie, Cat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Jessica Babiak, Darylith, Devin Michaels, Aaron Stevens, Luke Ikus, and Ray Serbeck. To find out more about how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where you can have exclusive access to 50-plus hours of bonus audio content, create in-game NPCs and items, as well as play games with the cast. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We play games.
Nope. We are starting strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It was because I was mouthing along.
It was. I saw you out of the corner of my eye.
You're not supposed to look at me because I don't know what comes next.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
My friend Shayna was like, just so you know, everyone in the Villainous League is coming to kill you. And I was like, oh boy.
Imagine NPR in the MCU. The Daily Planet's style desk. Car talk for jetpacks.
It's these American supers.
100% invisible.
The speech bubble.
It's sequential.
The utility belt.
Superhuman Public Radio is a fiction podcast telling the hilarious and heartbreaking stories of people in a superpowered world.
I thought I was going to die.
An invisible car in Chicago?
A wee supervillain?
These are the stories that fall between the panels of comic books.
I think they knew that I didn't mean to do that to Arizona.
Wasabi!
Oh my God, he could kill himself.
Kid, I feel like you're not giving this problem your all.
No. But yes, I guess most people would call them a death squad.
Ta-da. Superhuman Public Radio. Superhuman stories.
The only limits are your imagination, and I have a wild imagination.
New episodes every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is SPR.
Name the supervillain, and we've done the gig. But these Wall Street types that lack the answers to, yikes.